Third hour on this rainy Thursday here in Nashville. Darren McFarland, Willie Dunick here with you. Let's talk with Adam Kaplan, NFL insider, SiriusXM host. He now joins us. Lots of stuff going on in the league and stuff with the Titans, and we'll talk with Adam right now. Adam, thanks for doing this. Colin Kaepernick working out with the Raiders. How real is this? Could he possibly be the backup for Carr after not playing in the league since 2016?
Yeah, then the Seahawks brought him in for a visit. They didn't work him out. In fact, I remember talking to the Seahawks after that visit, and they just weren't sure then how much he would accept being a backup. But now, talking to people close to him, he knows he's a backup for the rest of his career. That's just the reality of it. And when you look at the Raiders situation, here's why they brought him in. So I'm told they actually want to sign Brian Hoyer at the start of free agency. Hoyer decided he did not want to move his family, so he's staying in New England. He re-signed with the Patriots. So they brought in Nick Mullins, who came off, I think, elbow surgery last year. He was with the Eagles for a brief time, but he wasn't ready physically. They made the trade for Jarrett Stidham, but they're looking for an experienced backup. So what they do is, you know, they worked him out. They've got that practice tape in terms of working out. You have that. You tape all your workouts when you bring players in, and they can go from there. And that's, as I understand it, that's where it is. They have the tape, and they'll see if they want to proceed further.
I mean, you've been around this league for a long time. I mean, I know I'm just asking your opinion, but I mean, somebody gone that long, and I know we're just talking about a backup quarterback, but do you think he can really play at the level that it takes, you know, after 6 years?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's tough, no doubt about it. It being a quarterback, you have to get your timing back. But with Kaepernick, as I understand it, he's been really working out nonstop since he left the 49ers. After the 16th season, he hasn't really stopped working out with the hopes he'd come back. He had that stupid workout that the NFL put on a couple years ago, which was ridiculous. It was just hastily put together, and that was nonsense. But, no, my understanding is he's kept in tremendous shape. He feels that he's ready to go. But and you bring this up, the issue there is, if he ever comes back, is you need not weeks, you need months to get your timing back. Plus, he's going to be with players he hasn't worked with before and with coaches he hasn't worked with before. So, I give the Raiders credit. You know, Mark Davis, the owner, has been very open, like his father was, to bring in different types of players. And with Kaepernick, you know, it's funny. I remember talking to a team that was looking into Kaepernick a couple years ago. And I said to them, I was like, guys, if you sign him as your backup, or he'll compete for a backup job, the circus, so-called circus atmosphere, drops after a day because he's a backup. That's just, everybody's going to want to talk to him. Every news outlet across the world will want to be there the first day. Once you get past the first day, he's just a backup, and then no one cares. So that's kind of where that is.
Yeah, you just got to get past that first wave. Good point.
Yeah.
And then it'll be fine. So Josh McDaniels is now the Raiders coach. That leaves an OC position wide open in New England. To my knowledge, Bill Belichick hasn't named an OC. Who's running the offense?
So a couple things here. The funny thing is Belichick has done this before. He actually called the plays. I think the first year Josh McDaniels left to become the Broncos head coach, it might have been 09 maybe, 09 or 10, I don't remember. But I just remember he was more or less calling the plays and heavily involved in the offense. So what I was told is after Joe Judge got fired and Belichick brought him in, he called some players on offense and said, "Hey, I'm going to be involved with you, including the quarterbacks." So what you know, we didn't know what that meant other than he was going to work with the quarterbacks, and that's actually what Judge has confirmed on the record to the reporters there. But we still don't know how it's going to work in terms of calling the plays. And Belichick, no matter who calls the plays, Bill's going to be heavily involved. The shame of it is there's so many good coaches out of work. I don't know why Bill won't do this, but when you've got a young quarterback, a first-round pick in Mac Jones, and he loses, don't forget, Josh McDaniels was not only the OC, he was the quarterback's coach.
Yep.
You lose both. That's a big blow. I'm glad you brought that up. I don't think people can make enough of that. Mac Jones may be smart, but missing the guy who developed him last year, that's going to be a problem.
No doubt. You're the perfect guy, Adam, to ask this question to, because we're trying to sit here in Nashville and figure out, you know, there feels like just one threat in the division. That's the Colts. I mean, you know,
maybe
the Jags
sure.
get better, but the Texans are the Texans. They're a long ways away. But we're trying to figure out, like, what What is Matt Ryan truly an upgrade from Carson Wentz? Is it the same? Is it less? We're trying to figure out at this stage in his career, what is Matt Ryan in Indianapolis? So how would you answer that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've talked to people about this from around the league as we look at, you know, all 32 teams and kind of where teams think they are and so forth. See, Matt Ryan, from a leadership standpoint, see, you can make the case. Okay, you can make the case that Carson Wentz played pretty well last season until the last two games, particularly the Jacksonville game when he was on the COVID list. It didn't come off until Sunday. So, I mean, he had no practice reps. Of course that was going to be a disaster coming into it, and it was. But you know, from talking to the Colts, they thought he played fairly well, but they were not sold on his leadership, particularly the owner. The owner made the call there. I'm told within 48 hours after that Jacksonville game, he pretty much made the decision that Wentz would not be back. Chris Ballard, the GM, he was the one who brought him in along with Frank Reich. It was really Ballard's decision to make the trade with the Eagles. But in the end, the man who signs the paychecks wanted Wentz off the roster. And now this is three teams in 3 years for Wentz. This is kind of strange. But with Matt Ryan, he's obviously much older. They've got him by contract structure for 2 years. And he's super durable, where Carson Wentz is not. Wentz is more talented. But from a leadership standpoint and accountability standpoint, I mean, I'm just calling it like it is and the way I know it, it's probably a better fit. And Nick Foles, ironically, is going to be the backup, and which is never would have happened if Carson Wentz was there, because Wentz didn't handle it well when the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round, and he just feels other players are a threat, and it just was not going to work.
Well, with your ties and the people you know in Philadelphia, what do you hear about? Like, the Wentz thing is so weird because, like you said, it really, if you take away, and I get it, it was a disaster. The two games, what was it, the Raiders and the Jags at the end of the year.
The Jags game. Terrible.
Yeah,
right.
In particular. But the two games, and I know the Raiders game he wasn't supposed to play. He missed all week, and he was crap in that game. But other than that, like, his season was pretty good. But what is it about Wentz that teams are just like, yeah, get out of here?
If the best game he had in probably the last 3 years was the Monday night game at Baltimore. He and Lamar Jackson put on a show. He was incredible. Wentz was the old Wentz before the ACL injury in 2017. But the knock on him has been accountability and pointing the finger to himself and saying, hey, I have to be better. That it'll never be about talent with him. He's got the arm strength. He's still a decent athlete. He's a tough guy, by the way. He'll play through injury. That's never been a problem. But too many people have kind of pointed the finger at him in terms of take responsibility. That's been a problem. When an owner goes after, like, it's one thing for the GM, because Chris Ballard wears his heart on his sleeve. For the owner to do what he did, say what he said, was shocking. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I knew going in that he wasn't happy with Wentz, but to go on the record and say what he said was just, it was really tough.
Yeah.
Really, really bad. So, to me, so that's it. To answer your question, it's accountability and leadership. He's got to be better with it. And quite frankly, look, it didn't work with his mentor, Frank Reich. That's a bad sign. But the Washington was desperate for a quarterback. Wentz could still play, by the way. He knows that division. It just so happens within the first 4 weeks, the Eagles are going to play Washington with Carson Wentz as the quarterback. We'll see. It's the one thing you could always turn your career around at quarterback. I've seen it happen a lot. You all know that. Everyone listening knows that. You could play quarterback to your late 30s and early to mid-40s in this business. But it's got to be about you being a better leader. If Wentz is a better leader, he's going to play in the league a long time.
We're talking to Adam Kaplan, NFL insider. You can catch him on Sirius XM, Fox Sports Radio. Adam, with your prism from where you sit, knowing what you know about the Eagles, give us your perspective on the A.J. Brown and that trade. Were you shocked? Yes.
Shocked, yeah. So I'm going to give you exactly what I know and then how I heard about it. So I do television for a company called Sports Grid. I was actually at the draft for them. And I was putting a lot of scoops out on the air, and I got a text from somebody. We just got A.J. Brown. I'm like, I had to see who it was. I'm like, I had to process it. Like, when you're getting something you're not expecting, and particularly you guys know this when you're doing radio or television, you have to have it, as what I do for a living, I have to have an answer. And I know how much the Titans love A.J. Brown. I'm like, this makes no sense to me. I know they were negotiating a contract, and teams up to a week before that were told that he wasn't available. So I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Within 4 or 5 hours, I would find out kind of where the Titans were. Then I know John Robinson, the GM, went on the record and, you know, said, look, they were far away and they didn't think they could ever get there. But I was shocked, and I know how much he meant to the players and the front office, to the coaches. teams don't walk away from players like this. I know they traded them and got decent value for them, but you guys know, following the team as you do, how important he was to the football team and how tough he was, and he's a big time leader. As you know, I've heard he's a good Super 8 type personality. He's the kind of guy you want to lead your team, particularly the wide receiver room. It's just, it was shocking, to sum it up, to move the 40. I was shocked by it.
We had a great discussion in the aftermath of looking at the Eagles and their skill players when they won the championship, when they won the Super Bowl. They didn't have the 1,000-yard back or the 1,000-yard receiver. So it was interesting that they made the play for A.J. Brown. But did you think the contract, knowing the atmosphere for wide receivers, the market for wide receivers is changing some, do you think they overpaid a little bit, or do you think he'll be worth it?
No, it's worth it. The problem is, and the reason why, my understanding is, from multiple sources, the Titans made a choice. They had a contract structure in mind. They had a dollar amount in mind, and particularly because of his knee issue. You remember he had scopes two springs ago on both knees. And that, to me, based on what I know, was going to be a problem for the Titans. You know, Amy Adams, who's, you know, it's her team. She's got to write the checks, and they have information, obviously. There are questions around the league. In fact, I know there are other teams involved about how long his career is going to be. Is it going to be 3 years? Is it going to be 6 years? I understand that. You have to be careful. This is the part about you have to protect your club. I don't necessarily have to agree with it, or you don't have to agree with it, but the Titans had information which suggest there may be some risk in terms of how the contract is structured and how much fully guaranteed money at signing they wanted to give him. Now, the Eagles, it's not quite the $25 million a year that was reported. It's if you look at the real money, it's less than that. Still a very good contract. And there's some risk. Look, the Eagles could get out of it after 2 years, but they all paid him a lot of money. But they believe this will transform the receiver room. See, they don't look at it like the 2017. The 2017 team, to be honest with you, talking to the Eagles before that season, they were not expecting Super Bowl. They were hoping to make the playoffs. Just sometimes you get a lead play from Carson Wentz. Nick Foles plays out of his mind for two games. Nobody saw that coming. Great coaching, by the way. It's seeming like every front office move the Eagles made that year worked. That never happens. It just all came together, and it happened. But they have Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown now, and they think they're really good in that receiver room. And don't forget, before we move on to the Titans, there's a couple things I want to talk to the Titans about. But the Eagles missed on Jalen Reagor. Looks like he doesn't look good. I mean, 2 years he hasn't done much. He was a first-rounder. He's probably better off playing somewhere else where he could revive his career. And then J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who was the second rounder in 2019, a receiver, has been moved to tight end. So that's kind of where that's at.
All right. So, Adam, you sort of teased our audience a little bit. Your thoughts on the Titans. We just have been talking with the OTAs going on about how it's really interesting how the question marks have really shifted from the defensive side of the ball to the offensive side of the ball in about a year.
Yeah, it is fascinating because, look, Derrick Henry turns 28 in July. That means he's 28 in NFL years. You do worry, you know, this is his first major injury, though. You do worry with backs who accumulate so many carries and take on so much contact, how long they're going to last. We know the offense is always going to go through Derrick Henry when he gets there. But when they traded away A.J. Brown, and of course it was during the draft, Treylon Burks, I could just tell you, mixed reviews. I'm pretty tight with a bunch of receivers coaches from around the NFL. I would say he was one of the most polarizing receivers for this draft because he's very gifted. He's long. You know, there's certain things from a gadget standpoint you can do with him, but he's completely different from A.J. Brown. Kyle Phillips is more of a slot receiver, who's pretty good, by the way. That's an interesting pick. And Robert Woods has come back from the ACL. I'd known for a while he'd be ready for training camp, and I like that he's getting out there. But let's face it, he's a 30-year-old receiver who's coming off an ACL injury. That would worry me. There's certain questions of their offensive line. So, yeah, you're right. I love the defense that J-Rod's put together, called by Shane Bowen and then Vrabel with assistance. But overall, you're right. You're exactly right. I have some questions with this team on offense.
So you like Kyle Phillips. You like that draft pick.
Yeah, I do. That's a very underrated draft pick, fifth rounder of UCLA. Burks, we have to wait and see physically if he's going to be able to handle being a full-time starter. At this level, it's just the rookie receivers tend to struggle more than they do well, but you got to be patient. I love the signing of Austin Hooper, very underrated. I know he's got a block, but this guy, remember, is no more as an athlete coming out of Stanford than a pass blocker, and now he's turned into more of a blocker as he had a block in Cleveland. So there, because Swain will be their wide tight end, Austin Hooper's going to catch the ball there, for I believe, for Tennessee.
Well, let's end with that, Adam. We're trying to figure out, is it more the Austin Hooper in Atlanta, or more the, like the Austin Hooper in Cleveland that the Titans got?
More Atlanta, yeah. He's going to catch the ball more. I could certainly see, because they're down in the pass target group, I could see certainly 55 to 60 catches in 17-game season, absolutely. Three and a half a game, sometimes more. Because look at it, right? Robert Woods, ACL injury, 30 years old. Burks, a rookie. Westbrook Ikhina is a tall slot receiver. Phillips really is a slot receiver. Fitzpatrick didn't work. He was cut, brought back. They don't have a lot of talent at wide receiver. So, and we know what this offense will look like. It'll still go through Henry. We know that. And by the way, Haskins, really underrated running back. A lot of teams I talked to really liked him. I like that pick to back up Henry.
Ooh, all right. We do too. We just had him on the show
recently. Power back, yep.
Really like that. All right. Adam, good stuff as always. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll certainly talk to you down the road.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
All right, Adam Kaplan, he is fantastic. NFL insider, also a host on Sirius XM. He's been covering the league for a very, very long time. We'll continue the discussion on the other side. I thought that was interesting, some stuff he put out there about the Titans and the Colts in the Titans division. But first, Willie, you got a word about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's talk Loan Pronto. Hey, how great would it be to wipe out all of those big, high-interest loans that may be out there, whether it's credit cards or any other kind of payments, you know, maybe it's tuition, all these things that kind of creep up on you, and it's just hard to get that pile down. Well, here is what Loan Pronto proposes. They've got a method to do that. You can do it with Loan Pronto's debt consolidation refi. Loan Pronto is excellent. They can help you use the equity in your home to your advantage. It's a smart financial move. The home's value is up right now, especially in our listing area. It's awesome. You can refinance your mortgage now. Take money out to pay off all your credit cards. Eliminate PMI charges. Pay off personal loans or other high-interest debt. Lots of great examples on how to do this, but it's really simple. Call Loan Pronto now and ask about the debt consolidation fast and easy refi. In just a few weeks, you'll have it ready to rock and roll. And homeowners who do this save an average of about $800 a month. So why pay 20% interest when you can consolidate it into one low payment with a mortgage APR in the threes? Call Loan Pronto now, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Indeed you are on this gorgeous Thursday. I mean, it's beautiful outside. Or not. I guess depending on where you are. No, probably doesn't matter. Gray, rainy day. Hopefully it'll all get out of here after today. Back here on the DDC. Good stuff from Adam Kaplan. Always a good NFL discussion with him. So I brought up Matt Ryan. Everybody's weighing in on what are the Colts getting in Matt Ryan? What is going to be? Is this going to be an upgrade from Carson Wentz? Is it going to be downgrading from Carson Wentz? Is it going to be the same? Now, Willie, I've never heard of this, the 33rd team. Have you heard of this site? I've never heard of them before.
I had never heard of it before today, but Adam, and just looking to see what Adam has been honing in on and preparing for the interview, he has looked at a couple of articles on here. I don't know if he's connected with these guys or not, but there's some good stuff. And of all people, Mike Tannenbaum, of course, we know his background, GM of the Dolphins, when Ryan Tannehill was the Dolphins quarterback. So he's got the unique perspective on Ryan Tannehill that we have documented ever since Ryan Tannehill was traded here. But he took his shot at tiering the starting quarterbacks in the NFL. So it sort of sparks a really interesting discussion on where he thinks Tannehill is at this stage of his career. And for that matter, where he thinks Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan are at this stage of his career. Once again, it's one person's opinion. It's not this, unlike The Athletic that always does it through the tiers. You know, he didn't poll a bunch of GMs. That's how they did it in The Athletic, which I think probably has a little more value, where you have a consensus of a lot of scouts, GMs, coaches, etc. This is just Mike Tannehill's take on it. But well, it's an interesting read if you want to look at it. The 33rd team is where you can find it.
He is, of course, a TV personality on ESPN. former GM. And he makes, I mean, I don't think there's any secret about it. We've certainly talked about it. We've had him on the show. He is pro Ryan Tannehill. He was in Miami when they drafted Ryan Tannehill. So, of course, he is pro Ryan Tannehill. So, as you said, on the 33rd team, I had never heard of this either. But here goes. This is Mike Tannenbaum, who has seven tiers of the starting quarterbacks in the league. And tier one, Mahomes, Allen, Rodgers, Herbert, Brady, Burrow. It's pretty hard to push back on anything in that list, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be stating in the obvious.
And unfortunately, the conversation, how things change in a year, after Ryan Tannehill had the great offensive numbers, there actually was an argument that could be made that he was closer. Now, this he separates. He has more tiers, we should say that,
yes,
than the athletic one. So I don't think anybody would argue he's with those guys. But there was an argument that he was a lot closer to those guys than you would make right now. No question about it.
He's
definitely not now.
Well, but he wasn't. It was a very good year. But
no, not with those. I don't think anybody would mistake him for one of those guys that you just mentioned. But this next tier, the tier two, I think is where you could have put him last year, which you will not put him in this year.
Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson. This is a really interesting tier.
Right, and so he defines each tier. And once again, you and I could put out tiers. Our definitions might be slightly different than Mike Tannenbaum's. But here's how he defines tier two. Franchise quarterbacks, but on a lesser scale. These are quarterbacks that can win games during the season, but they tend to lack the complete package, whether that's in the pocket, staying on the field. There's some flaw in there. They can make mistakes and put teams in a tough situation to win at times. All are quarterbacks a team would be happy to have as your starter. But the ultimate question is, can they win you a Super Bowl? Well, there's a guy on this list that, a couple guys on the list that have already done it, right? In Mr. Stafford and Mr. Wilson. So he's got those guys in tier two.
Look, I think, man, if we were doing this, this would be a really, really good discussion. And maybe we should, because just thinking about this, Dak Prescott has not played particularly well since signing his new big fat contract, right? He's also dealt with injuries.
You know, I think, what do you consider well? You know, they didn't get it done in the playoffs, but he did some really good things. He bounced back from that injury better than I thought he would.
Okay, fair enough. But did he have the season that you...
No, but the Cowboys were relevant.
He had a big year.
The Cowboys were relevant,
yes,
to his credit, and largely because of him.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, okay.
And a resurgent defense, right? Those two things happened, and suddenly the Cowboys were in the mix. Where, remember, we were joking just how bad that division was a year prior.
I mean, with that being said, look, Dak Prescott is more closer to that tier one than Ryan Tannehill. You know, going back
right
to,
now,
like
you'd
you
have
said,
to say yes.
Well, I mean, even going back to when Ryan Tannehill, that discussion was relevant. Like that, Dak Prescott is definitely, you know, more closer to that group and way ahead of Ryan Tannehill. So with the other one here is Deshaun Watson. Like I understand why you would put him in tier two, but with so many question marks, I'm not sure you can until you see it. There's no proof that he's just going to return to form. Like, forget just the sitting out a year. Like, just forget that part, which is kind of a big deal. Did not take a snap in the league last year for a year. But that's really, to me, lesser than how is he going to handle all the pressures that come with what is the mountain of pressure that is facing him moving forward. He's one, he signs the richest contract in NFL history, so now he's got that mountain of you have to not only be good, you have to be great all the time, or people are going to say, you're not worth it, why did you give him all this money? You know how this works.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need to go through all that.
Well, we just talked about it with Taylor Lewan. When you get that kind of paycheck, there's a lot riding, especially when you change teams.
So that is one portion of the mountain. Now, the mountain that goes all the way up to the top that has, like, snow-capped. And so, you know, that's high altitude, okay? You're way up there.
Vancouver Whitecaps.
Yeah. Yes. Denver, Colorado. You've seen that, right?
Yeah.
In fact, by the way, we have a mutual friend that moved out there. They had 80 degrees one day and a foot of snow the next. That was interesting in the last week. But, look, there are women that are coming out and talking now publicly. Like, this stuff right here, you know, all the stuff behind the scenes, the allegations. He's a human being.
He's going to be dealing with a lot.
He can put on a front all he wants at a press conference. He is a human being, and he's got feelings, and people are saying a whole lot of stuff about him, and none of it's good, and he's got to process that. That is a lot to take it. Forget about how difficult the position is alone. Now you add richest contract, highest paid, and all this other stuff, which I think is the greater portion of the mountain than the contract part, and I think even the smaller scale is sitting out a year. That's a lot. I have real doubts that I could put him in tier two until I saw it. Abilities, we know. Deshaun Watson has all the abilities. He's got all the tools. He's a franchise quarterback. That was pre all of this. Remember, those are the feelings you had pre all of this, and I just described a mountain of stuff he's got to get through. I'm not so sure he's going to get through that mountain. I don't think he's going to climb that mountain. I would have a real hard time putting Deshaun Watson in tier two. I think it's way too risky. Agree or disagree?
He's probably the trickiest one for this because he hasn't played in a long time, but I would still put him in tier two.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. We'll continue the discussion because we want to find out where's Ryan Tannehill, where is Matt Ryan in these tiers. We'll do that on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3. Thanks, Paul. Don't forget you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Okay, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, we discussed. 33rd team. This is Mike Tannenbaum, who is ESPN's TV personality. He is ranking the tiers of starting quarterbacks. To recap, Tier 1, Mahomes, Allen, Rodgers, Herbert, Brady, Burrow. Tier 2, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson. We discuss Lamar Jackson, Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson. I don't think any pushback on that, right?
Correct.
Hard to push back on that. Tier 3, it's a light tier. Derek Carr, Kyler Murray, your thoughts?
Well, let's give you Mike Tannenbaum. Let's give you Tannenbaum's thoughts because that's the key here. Passers that have potential to play at a high level every week but are not consistent throughout the season. This can be due to injury or poor performance. They will win you games in the clutch, but they can also lose games for teams at times as well. At their very best, they're tier two, but altogether they are above average quarterbacks. So Derek Carr, Kyler Murray, you know, that sounds about right for them. And I think we should define. So he said, it basically says to me they're a little more erratic. Their ceiling is pretty high, but they have some problems living up to that. So I think that fits the description pretty well. So let's roll that into tier four, because that's where he has Ryan Tannehill.
That's where it gets juicy.
That's where he has Ryan Tannehill. Now remember, this is Mike Tannenbaum. He has been a defender of Ryan Tannehill, and yet he's got him in tier four. Steady quarterbacks, a team knows what they're getting out of these guys every week. They're winners. They typically are smart with the ball, but they lack consistency. They're elevated by the talent around them, and they show that when the talent is average. Because when the talent is average, they can be average as well. Kirk Cousins, Mac Jones, Ryan Tannehill.
Winners? What's defined as winners? Like regular season winners?
Ryan Tannehill is 30-13 as the starter.
Yeah, regular season winners. I mean, because Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill and Mac Jones have had no postseason success.
Ryan Tannehill went to the AFC Championship game.
I know. Okay. I get it.
We're doing this relative to the league, okay? It's not – everybody wants to win the Super Bowl, but this is relative to the rest of the league. He's a winner.
One season, he was a winner. Yes, playoff season. Yes.
30-13 since taking over as the starting quarterback. That is a winner.
Is Kirk Cousins a winner? You view Kirk Cousins as a winner
relative to the rest of the league. Relative to, shall we just pick a name? Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, Mitch Trubisky. There's a lot of guys out there. Relative to those, to the entire league, yes, they're winners. They're not tier one. That's why they're in tier four. I say yes, winners.
They're elevated by the talent around
yes,
them.
Yes, totally accurate.
And show when that talent is average.
I completely buy into that.
Okay.
I don't see anything unfair about that.
Okay. I mean, that part of it, yes, for sure. Tier five. He says, what about tier five?
Tier 5 comes down to these quarterbacks being boom or bust, all from different stages of their careers. It can be those that are on the last stops or just beginning. They could find themselves in situations where they can really make a difference. Others, where they could really struggle. Often, they're high-risk players that can be limited with lack of talent and put their teams in poor positions at times with decision-making. So this is interesting to me. Because all of these guys are different stages of their career, which he admits. This is tier five. Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Jimmy Garoppolo. To me, those guys are all really different profiles. But he's got them in the same tier.
Yeah, I've got a real issue with tier five. Doesn't make any sense to me at all. There's no way you can have Matt Ryan in this group. I mean, there's just
no way. Matt Ryan is tier what? Four?
Four. He's
okay.
Four.
Not a three, sure. But he's four. I think I would agree with that. I think I would agree with that. I'd say he's still more in that steady category of tier four.
There's no way Matt Ryan is in tier five. With Jameis Winston, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Jimmy Garoppolo, no way.
And I would even say Jimmy Garoppolo could be tier four.
I think you could make a case for that, yeah. And some
Jimmy Garoppolo is better, has done a lot more than Jameis Winston, Trevor Lawrence, and Justin Fields.
Those guys do not belong in this tier. They just don't. Either Ryan and Garoppolo need to be
well. When you read the next tier, you're gonna see. I think he could definitely have less tiers. So I think he had too many tiers. If I had to critique this article.
I mean, how in the world could you put Justin Fields and Matt Ryan in the same category?
Well, also, okay, let's look at tier six, the next one down. Okay, there's seven tiers. I would make the case you don't need any more than about five here. But tier six, players that you can win with if the situation around them is ideal. They need time in the pocket. A strong game plan, weapons in the backfield. It's unlikely to see flashes of greatness from these players, but at their best, they'll keep their teams in the game. Tua, Davis Mills, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, and Jalen Hurts. That's an interesting group right there. Tier six.
Yeah.
Now, would you have Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and Jameis Winston, for that matter, over that group? I tend to see those three guys as more in the group that he just mentioned. Tua, Davis Mills, Goff, Wentz, Hurts. There's not much difference between tier five and six, except that Garoppolo and Ryan are clearly higher than those guys. They're in a different category.
Yeah, I think he – I would say, look, we discussed it. We can – differ a little bit, but I think overall, I think we're on the same page, tiers one through four. I think we could live with it. I think once he gets to tier five, he goes off the rails. tier 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah. Well, seven is the names you would expect. It's the best of the rest. Zach Wilson, Marcus Mariota, Trubisky.
Why is Zach
Trubisky.
Wilson on there any more than Trevor? I mean, how could Trevor Lawrence be two tiers above Zach Wilson?
I'm with you. There's too many tiers.
Like, there's no, I mean, Sam Darnold, Drew Locke,
I think
Daniel
you could put
Jones.
These guys, I think you could put all these guys into five tiers. 5 through 7, in my mind, you take Matt Ryan and Jimmy Garoppolo, you move them up to tier 4, you put everybody else in tier 5.
I would agree with that. I mean, Daniel Jones is, look, I don't think he's, I don't know. I agree. I think you have to do a lot more lumping here at the end.
But what's interesting is you look at the number of guys in tier 5 and below, it's about half the team's quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It's a lot of guys.
Like I said.
So there's a lot of teams with major question marks. That's why, in comparison, Tannehill is a level above those guys. Now, that's a separate question than can you win the Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill? That's a difficult question. But I think he's got Tannehill in the right spot. What's interesting is he's got Ryan a level below, and he's got Carson Wentz 2 levels below.
I think Matt Ryan, because a lot of people have been asking the question, is Matt Ryan an upgrade from Carson Wentz or not? And a lot of people are weighing in, and I think he is. There is nothing to me that says Matt Ryan is not going to be an upgrade from Carson Wentz. One, I don't think Carson Wentz is a winner, which is why I didn't pick the Colts to go to the playoffs last year. I don't think he's a winner at all. And, you know, I know Matt Ryan has had his struggles as well in that department, but I just think Matt Ryan is a much more steady guy, much more pro. I mean, if you listen to Adam Kaplan, he's like, you know, Carson Wentz, I wouldn't say his leadership is in question. I think that's pretty clear. He's on how many teams now at his, you know, as a guy who was a first-round pick? I just think Matt Ryan is going to be an upgrade from the Colts. I really do. I think he belongs in that tier with Tannehill. I think I would have Tannehill and Matt Ryan in the same tier.
I can argue for that. I think that'd be all right. I could argue, too, that Ryan Tannehill could get into tier 3 for sure. But let's come back and talk about that part of it, because I think that's a real interesting one to hit.
Okay, we'll do that to wrap up the third hour. Elliot Freeman to begin the fourth and final hour. All things on tap here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3. All right, start where you wanted to go to kind of wrap up this hour. We're talking about the 33rd team.
The 33rd team to bring you on board, Mike Tannenbaum, the former GM. You see him on ESPN. He took a crack at tiering the starting quarterbacks, as many do during the offseason. Different approach than the one we have referred to the last 3 or 4 seasons, going back to when Marcus Mariota was being evaluated. The Athletic pools a bunch of experts, so to speak, scouts, coaches, etc. This is just one guy's opinion. He's got Ryan Tannehill in tier 4 with Kirk Cousins and Mac Jones. Tier 3, Derek Carr and Kyler Murray. I will argue that Ryan Tannehill could be a tier 3. I don't think I would put him above Derek Carr and Kyler Murray at this point. I think the ceiling for Carr and Murray, who are younger, is probably higher for those guys. But I would put Ryan Tannehill. Mac Jones is the tough one because he's so young. He just played 1 year, and he's played for the Patriots. It's a unique situation where he jumps in there, and then he's the quarterback from the start. But I don't think there's any doubt. I would not trade Ryan Tannehill for Kirk Cousins, would you? They're in the same tier on this thing.
You know how I feel about Kirk Cousins. So
yeah, Ryan Tannehill's better than Kirk Cousins. Would you trade him? Would you make that trade straight up? I don't think you would.
You're not really changing much. I mean, it's to me, you're changing for the same guy. I think.
Oh, I don't think so. Ryan Tannehill as a runner, as a leader, toughness, I think is just better. He brings you more.
Yeah, I'd look
to me, I think
you're
it's
not going to get
clear.
Me to make the case for Kirk Cousins.
No, so. You're not. You well, yeah, that's why I would really challenge you if you were going to make that trade. I'm saying you would not make that trade.
No, but I don't think you're not. I don't think you're really gaining a whole lot. You're not changing really much. To me, they belong in the same tier. They do.
I would move Matt Ryan and Ryan Tannehill more into tier three.
Okay, so let me ask you something.
And that's I think that's what you got to hope for Ryan Tannehill is he plays more clearly in tier three. The problem is what they said. They're elevated by the talent around them and show that when the talent is average. That's the issue with the Titans this year. What is around Ryan Tannehill? Because there's a lot of question marks.
Are you telling me if Ryan Tannehill was in Minnesota the last 2 years that his numbers will look the same as Kirk Cousins' numbers?
Well, he's a different kind of quarterback. He's gonna help you running the ball. It's a completely different type of offense. Kirk Cousins, the numbers end up looking pretty good, but yeah. The wins don't. He doesn't win.
I understand.
10-5, his best year ever was in 2019. 7-9, 8-8.
But the numbers are way more eye-popping than Ryan Tannehill.
Not really. Not at all. Not now, last year, that for sure, but the Ryan Tannehill's first season and a half, 2019 and 2020, his numbers were outstanding.
33 touchdowns and 7 picks last year is pretty darn good, and over 4,000 yards passing. It's pretty good, 4,200 yards.
For your fantasy team.
Yeah, well, or any team. I mean, numbers are numbers. I mean, that helps you.
No, it's when you do it. That's always been the issue with the Vikings fans is when the game's on the line. What happens? Ryan Tannehill's got a lot
right,
of fourth-quarter comebacks.
Do you think Ryan Tannehill's numbers would look just the same as Kirk Cousins if you swapped quarterbacks?
Ryan Tannehill had the same numbers 2 years ago. He had 33 touchdowns and, like, 7 interceptions.
Okay. The year before, he had Kirk Cousins had 35-13. So that's back-to-back years of 30-plus touchdowns and 7 and 13 picks.
And what are – And what are Kirk Cousins 4, rushing?
200 yards.
What are Kirk Cousins rushing yards?
Okay, I'm asking
zero?
You, would his passing stats look the same?
It's a different offense. It's hard to answer that.
Well,
they're different
Tannehill
times of quarterbacks.
Would be in that offense. So would he look the same?
I think he could be more effective for the Vikings than Kirk Cousins. If I were the Vikings and I could do a do-over, I might take that chance. Kirk Cousins is mediocrity. He's steady. He's not great.
Right, but there's no proof that, and I know they have a good running back there, but he is hurt a lot. But you don't know if Ryan Tannehill doesn't have Derrick Henry. Does Ryan Tannehill, can he put up those type of numbers and can he lead an offense? Can he put up big numbers without that bell cow?
He's got two division titles.
With a bell cow elite running back, the best running back in the league.
Yes, he's got division titles. He is elevated them.
With an elite running back, the best running back in the league.
Right. What is Dalvin Cook? Dalvin Cook is an elite running back.
Good, he is. He is very good, but
he's elite. He's elite.
Dalvin Cook is a top tier.
So was Derrick Henry last year.
But he's not Derrick Henry.
Okay. Derrick Henry missed half the season. Ryan Tannehill still got them the division title with all kinds of issues at wide receiver. You got him through there. What does Kirk Cousins do? He gets you to 8-8.
Yep. Look, I have a hard time.
He's a tier higher. That's by all I'm arguing is he's a tier higher than Kirk Cousins.
He's not. They're the same.
They're not the same. Are you kidding me?
They belong in the same tier.
No, if you're drafting for fantasy football, he's in the same tier. If you're trying to win football games, they're not in the same tier.
Well, I'm just going to disagree with you. I don't know why you would think that way. What based on
Kirk
what?
Cousins has been in the league for a long time. There's a lot of 8-8, 7-9s in there.
Yeah, for a bad organization in Washington. You're going to count Washington? I mean, it's a bad organization.
What else do I have to go on?
Ryan Tannehill played for a bad organization in Miami. How did he look in Miami?
I'm not. I'm saying
Miami
with
and Washington are bad organizations.
Minnesota is not a bad organization. Kirk Cousins has been the quarterback for Minnesota. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, but both of their successes are with better organizations. That's my.
They
point.
Haven't had the same amount of success. Ryan Tannehill has had way more success than Kirk Cousins.
Way more success.
8-7-1, 10-5, 7-9, 8-8. That is Kirk Cousins with the Vikings. There was one year where they made the playoffs in there. The rest, they didn't make it. Ryan Tannehill has played got his team to the playoffs all 3 years. They're 30-13 within the starters. There's no comparison.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way I'm.
He's on a different tier.
No, that's not me. But you can. I'm not. I'm not willing to go there.
And do we even need to bring up rushing attack? It's not even close. It's
don't
not like Ryan Tannehill has had this unbelievable defense that has propped them up to be a winning team despite a bad offense. If you look at the 3 years combined, he's 30-13, and the team has won two division titles. They've gotten to the playoffs all 3 years. It's no comparison to Kirk Cousins.
I'm not convinced Ryan Tannehill's stats would be the same if he was in Minnesota. I'm just not convinced of it. So I'm a no on that.
Okay.
You want to put him a tier above? You can. I'm a no.
You want to crown him? I'm crowning him. I'm moving him to tier three.
Yeah, that's a no for me.
But Ryan, I would also put equal or better than Kirk Cousins.
Matt Ryan is not a tier five.
Yes. So he is at least a tier four.
But they are who we thought they were.
Yes.
Look, honestly, these guys that we're talking about, they are. They are what we – I mean, there's really – they are what.
Okay.
We think
now here's another one. Derek Carr, is he tier three in your mind?
That's a tricky one because until what's he last really done? Year, I wouldn't have. Well, last year he was ridiculously good.
Ridiculously good.
Derek Carr,
23 touchdown passes and 14 interceptions is ridiculously good.
Oh, I guess was it the year before?
27 touchdown passes and 9 interceptions. That's not ridiculously good. They were 8-8.
Well, last year he threw for almost 5,000 yards, so that does count for something. And their offense wasn't
it means
great.
They were behind and had to throw a lot or
right.
couldn't
Did
run.
He have, well, give me all the great weapons he had last year with all the stuff that was going on
Look,
with him.
He was good. He was
they
good.
Had a lot of
they,
stuff
they
going on.
Didn't do
on.
Much.
First-round picks getting cut in the middle of the season, like a lot of stuff. He doesn't have anywhere near the talent that Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill had to throw to. Especially Kirk Cousins. If Derek Carr had those weapons, that guy in the backfield, and those two receivers.
If he had an injured Julio Jones and an injured A.J. Brown.
5,000 yards throwing last year, what do you think his numbers would look like in Minnesota?
Look, I just think Tannehill is sort of alongside of Carr. Carr's a little younger. I think if you give him more, I think you could get more. His ceiling is higher than Tannehill, but he hadn't really done it.
All right, we'll come back. Elliot Friedman to start the final hour. That's next.